As I walk through this wicked world, babe, searching for light in the darkness of insanity. I ask myself, I said, is all hope lost? Is there only pain and hatred and misery? Oh, each time I feel this way inside, there's one thing I wanna know. So funny about peace, love, and understanding. Now what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding?
Awesome stuff. All right, welcome back to the top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, February 1st, 2024. And the beginning of Black History Month. Yay! Next month is White History Month, right? No. Isn't next month Ladies History Month? So ladies take a back seat, you know. Oh, well. That's not offensive, but we can't call ladies ladies anymore, so what difference does it make? Just kidding. Being a little facetious. So, to recap the announcements, we're through the quilt raffle. Do we have a winner, by the way? Okay. Winner to be announced this weekend. Okay. And so thank you to everyone who participated. As the Dear RBN letter says, your support of the sponsors, advertisers, and direct contributions to the network are extremely valued and appreciated, greatly appreciated. And that includes the quilt raffle and the second annual John Stab Miller book drive, for that matter. And you can still support the network. Thank you to those who do and have and did. And if you don't currently or you haven't ever, please consider supporting the network. Go to the website for details on that. If you're on Facebook, check out the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. There you go. Let me finish these thoughts real fast and we'll move on. Actually, we're playing the PMJ bumps today. Postmodern Jukebox, Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. I explained in the first hour what and why, but I will add, you'll notice that each cover, like when we went out in the last bump out in the first hour was Tatum Langley covering The Weeknd's Die For You in 70s James Bond style, which I think they did an absolutely outstanding job. And again, you have to watch these to really fully appreciate them. When we came back in the top of the second hour, Sarah Potenza did a Motown cover of Nick Lowe's Peace, Love, and Understanding, which was popularized by Elvis Costello. And you can't listen to that song without hearing Elvis Costello, obviously, but it's an outstanding cover by Sarah Potenza and the PMJ group. But what's really amazing, I think, you know, is they do these things from different eras. And like I said, in the first hour, it, you know, when Scott Bradley started it, it was the ragtimification of songs, which was super fun, but it quickly developed into pretty much all modern or contemporary music genres, which is demonstrated in the evolution of the Friends TV theme song from the 1920s to 1990s, which they did is pretty cool. Anyway, the point is, Scott Bradley's incredibly talented, and his ability to, you know, change or adapt a song to a certain particular genre on the fly without actually altering the song is incredibly, like, that's an amazing talent. I watched the interview I mentioned in the first hour where he ragtimeifies a song on the fly, which is incredible to watch. Anyway, back to the point of trying to merge these two ideas, reconciling Christian faith and obedience to government and our American revolutionary founding, birth in the Age of Enlightenment. If we're courageous enough, I'll say it this way and we'll go to the phones. If we're courageous enough to confront the reality of the era, Jefferson being the guy, you know, we generally consider responsible for the Declaration of Independence. Madison considered the father of the Constitution. We understand the I don't want to say zeitgeist, but, you know, the prevailing attitudes of the era. Jefferson's a very controversial figure, actually. I'll talk about that more as we go on. But if you look at these, some of this stuff, you know, the Age of Enlightenment stuff that influenced guys like Franklin, Jefferson, Madison, Paine, Mason, then the influence is undeniable in our founding. Empiricism, humanism, particularly, natural philosophy, the laws of nature and nature's God, the scientific method, things that have a Platonic ring to them that are patently unchristian, unbiblical, ungodly. And a number of other characters like Swedenborg and Spinoza and Rousseau and Leibniz and Goethe and, you know, on and on the list goes. So without belaboring that, the point is, if we're courageous enough to consider the possibility that our founding was, let's say, humanized, what is the essence of humanism? Everything sort of revolves around man, and, you know, matter is what matters, and as much as it matters to man, that's why it matters, kind of thing. Reason, natural philosophy, scientific method, empiricism, what can we observe, what's important to man? If we acknowledge that maybe our founding is particularly humanized in nature, and man is at the center of that, and maybe ye shall be as gods, because, you know, the perfectibility of man, which leans into a Gnostic, Kabbalistic orientation of, you know, making the world, perfecting the world and perfecting man, then if humanism is the thing, you know, as a result of this influence, then what's happening today is not an anomaly. It is the natural progression and outgrowth of those things in our founding. And there's more to it, obviously. Talked about it on the January 4 broadcast, I believe, and I'll talk more about it. But, you know, that's just kind of a primer. For now, we'll go to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome. Are you there, Glenn?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Good morning. Okay. Yeah, interesting stuff. The Wikipedia stuff and the music, all very intriguing. You were just talking about America, you know, founding being possibly humanistic. You're probably familiar with John MacArthur, the Reformed theologian.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I'm inclined to say, he says that nations aren't Christians, people are Christians, individuals,
exactly.
You know, individuals are Christians.
It's a great way and,
you know, that Satan, when he was tempting Christ, offered him, what, all the kingdoms of the world. So apparently,
I mean, what does he think, he's the God of this world or something? 1 John 5:19?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, none of the kingdoms or countries, as we know them, are Christian. They're run by Satan, ultimately, for the time being. That's why he was able to offer them to Christ, and he didn't contradict them. He just said, yeah, no thanks.
Exactly. He didn't say it's not yours to give.
Yep, exactly.
The usurpation in the garden is, yeah, what it is.
So, I was going to pull a Monty Python, and now for something completely different on you.
Did we lose Glenn? That is something completely different. What happened, Glenn? Are you still there?
I'm still here. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just looked at my phone. I think my cheek or my earlobe hit the mute button or something.
That was something completely different.
Yes. I just wanted to really, you know, throw you for a loop.
Right on.
No, there's something going on now in the realm of last days prophecy and dispensationalism stuff and impending raptures. And that's this, you may be aware of it, this conflict that's thrown because of this thing in Israel going on since October 7th attacks and all that, and this war with Hamas and Hezbollah and stuff. It's kind of throwing a monkey wrench into some people's dispensational eschatology scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And are you familiar with the Psalm 83 question at this point? There's a guy. It's mentioned by a number of people, but one of the chief exponents is a guy named Bill Salas, who talks about Psalm 83 and whether or not it's a psalm, an imprecatory prayer, or prophecy. And
I think John in Tennessee and I had this conversation.
Yeah, this is really throwing a monkey wrench in things, because right now there's a host of people doing the conference circuit. I mean, these guys just, I was like, Tom Uzo, you know, give up the church and just go on the road, and they're off on a cruise here and Israel there and Australia, all over, flying all over the world.
Sounds very godly. Nothing like a servant's heart.
Yeah, it's just a lot of this conference thing is everybody's doing conferences. We got me, Joe Lowe, these five guys over here. Yeah, but so you have the standard pre-trib. Pre-trib crowd, and Magog battle, Ezekiel 38 and 39 versus the Psalm 83, scenario. And what's going on right now doesn't perfectly, fit, with anything. And so it's really a bugaboo in watching the people trying to choose their emphasis on all this.
Well, this I think coincides with what I'm talking about America's founding, because, one of my sort of, I don't know, New Year's resolution type things for the year is no compromise. And I don't mean that so much in a dogmatic way as I want to have a heart for the Lord and see what he wants me to see, the way he wants me to see it, and operate. Proceed accordingly, basically. And the Pledge of Allegiance is one example of that. It really is bothering me these days. It's really bothering me when I go. I've told a story this year about going to a gun club meeting and, them saying, all right, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, which, is normal in America, but it's not. If you understand the history, it's not normal. It's not okay. I feel like doing the Bellamy salute when I'm there doing that, because they don't understand this is a national socialist pledge to a flag. And if you're a Christian and to the Republic, who wrote the book on the Republic? Wasn't it Plato?
Yeah. Or the word indivisible, even though the divisibility it was written in at the time.
Exactly.
They joined.
It was a union of several states, wasn't it?
Right. Right.
So, if we're going to be honest about those things, I think you know, getting rid of our own hypocrisy, because, you know, James chapter 1 tells us, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. But there's the caveat. Don't be double-minded, because that man ought not to expect anything, that he will receive anything from the Lord. And I feel like the devil keeps us all bound up in these this double-mindedness, all of this hypocrisy where, yeah, we're good Americans, but we say the Pledge of Allegiance and we don't understand the history or what it means. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a communist. I say the Pledge of Allegiance. Actually, you are a communist if you're saying it. I mean, communists wrote it. So, you know, and they gave you the Nazi salute along with it that remained into our participation in the Second World War. That should be shocking to everyone. And most people don't even know. And I think Wikipedia serves that purpose, at least, because you can go to the Wikipedia entry for the Bellamy salute and see school kids doing mm-hmm. the Nazi salute in the early 1910s all the way through the 1940s.
Oh, well, that goes back to Rome. I mean, that goes all the way back to Rome.
Yeah, it's the Roman salute. Yeah. Exactly. Right. So why do we have the Roman salute? Why do we have... all roads lead to Rome, do as Rome, doing Rome, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans, and all of this Greco-Roman symbolism throughout the country. Why?
Right.
Because America was founded as a product of the Age of Enlightenment, which is a return to Plato and making the new Atlantis. If we can be honest, then maybe we can get somewhere as Christians.
Right. Well, why is the Washington Monument at 555 feet above ground and 111 feet below ground?
It's just a coincidence, Glenn. Gosh, seriously. But, you know, if we can be honest about these things, I think if we can, you know, we will really understand as Christian folks stepping out, you know, come out of her, oh my people, instead of trying to play the devil's game in a Christian sort of fashion, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding what the game is and what the rules are, because it's the devil's game and it's his rules, and most people don't understand that. It's like trying to, you know, play chess at a football game.
Right. Exactly. People just don't understand. And I don't know what to say. Yeah, I was thinking about the states. I mean, there are certain states who came in to the Union with specific clauses in the contract that allowed them to withdraw if they wished to.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, but if you try to exercise that right to secession, you know, it's already indivisible. This means you, bang.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, but, you know, there's a lot. Yeah. A lot more to say on this stuff. You know, one of the fun things, speaking of these guys and there was a lot of, intriguing stuff happening in our founding. You can go, speaking of the Age of Reason guys here in America, Franklin, Jefferson, Madison, Mason, and Paine, go to George Mason's Wikipedia entry. Click the expand all button, scroll down to the bottom. George Mason, Age of Enlightenment, influential guy, thinkers, scrolling down, history, the Mason family. Oh, the Mason family, George Mason 1, George Mason 2, George Mason 3, George Mason 4, George Mason 5. Maybe you get an idea of where I'm going with this. Are those kinds of people really interested in, you know, the will of the people and so on and so on? Come on now. Come on.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you're altruistically looking for that time, when the government was truly representative, good luck. I mean, because I don't think they're, we're always looking for this ideological time from which things fell.
In the immortal words of Greta Thunberg, how dare you? How dare you? You're absolutely right. There's no doubt about it. I guess we're headed into the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
there's nothing like it.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You're not there. I give you my love, but you don't care. So what is right? What is wrong? Just give me a sign. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Baby, don't hurt me no more.
What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me. Baby, don't hurt me.
Back.
I don't know why you're not there.
What is Love? Covered by Kacey Abrams and what's her name? I forget her name. And the other one was Vintage 1970s Soul Maroon 5 cover with Morgan James. That's not on the list, but it should be. Not on the list yet. Anyway, so Glenn, you're still there, right?
You can hear me, right? I'm here.
Yeah. So, yes. Okay. So in the what you were saying reminds me of Nesta Webster's World Revolution. In the beginning of the book, before the author's note, actually. She features two quotes, one from Joseph de Maistre and the other from Lombard de Long. You know, I guess in French, Lombard de Long, but in, you know, our hackish English, Lombard de Longres. And the first quote by Joseph de Maistre translates to, I'm not going to read the French, I'm not going to butcher it. If men understood the revolution today, it would end tomorrow. And the other quote by de Long or de Longres, people who are ignorant of the true situation of things, and the number of them is large, imagine that secret societies have as their object the alliance of peoples against kings. Save us, kidnapper. This is a capital error, he wrote. Secret societies are enemies of everyone. They flatter the passions. They excite divisions, hatred, and vengeance. But it is for their own benefit, or rather that of a few ambitious people who would only like to dethrone kings to better oppress their subjects. And this myth of our American founding is, I think, one of the most sinister and pervasive ways to do that, to, you know, get the people to overthrow themselves. This is why, when you start to understand this stuff, I think this is why William Guy Carr said, you know what, I'm a monarchist. And by the way, my king said that his kingdom is not of this world. But he said, you know, I'm supposed to present myself appropriately while I'm here. So there you go. But we get all caught up in this whole American, you know, we have, I would say, a double-mindedness.
Yeah, could be. Can you hear me?
Yeah. You're doing the speaker thing.
Right, gotcha. Before we finish that, I wanted to mention about the music. Some of these songs sound better reworked in the cover version.
No question about it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that one, What is Love, Baby Don't Hurt Me, I have a mental picture of a couple of the guys from Saturday Night Live doing their own version.
Yeah, right.
Remember it? I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Yep.
But anyway, okay, so about the kings. Yeah, I liked JFK's, very forthright repudiation of secret societies, you know, like the society wasn't designed to work, you know, with secret societies, you know.
Imagine that.
You know, that it's fundamentally antithetical to the American, you know, system. But nonetheless, like you say, we have the advantage of knowing that Christ's kingdom is not of this world, but it will be coming into the world eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's going to have to do a lot of displacement of current influences to be put in place. It's not going to be a comfortable thing.
Yeah. Where is it? Oh, gosh. I have to think about it. The visual of him, you know, you see these movies. I mean, this is maybe not a good equivalent, but, you know, you see the movies, the depiction of the superheroes or whatever, or like the Matrix or whatever, and, you know, the hero hits the ground and there's this ripple. I forget what verse it is. What's the verse where, you know, he is standing when he returns and
the mountain
is split from east to west, and the north pushes away and the south pushes away like wax.
Right. And then the gate that is presently walled up, you can just picture the stones all come flying out of there. And that's the gate. I think it's Lion's Gate, through which he enters, you know. And then the Kidron Valley filled with blood and the horses' bridles and all that kind of stuff.
Revelation 14. And Revelation 19 says that he wears a robe dipped in blood, probably because the horse's blood all the way up to the horse's bridle for 200 miles.
Yeah.
We're heading into another break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Been so unavailable.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Say, yeah, they're fighting in your head. So, you know, we need to get rid of that fighting. So that's these are all PMJ songs. I've mentioned this before, but just in case people are coming in and don't know what's going on. Postmodern Jukebox. If Haley Reinhardt's cover of Radiohead's Creep, one PMJ song is good. Ah, you know what? A whole day's worth is even better. They're visually stunning, so you should check them out if you haven't. That was Maya Sykes' cover of Zombie, and before that it was Casey Abrams' cover of I'm Not the Only One in vintage New Orleans style, Sam Smith song. Anyway, we need to go back to the phones. Glenn, do you have...
Real quick, did you ever misplace a tool that you never move from its particular place, but then the one time you do, and then you can't find it? And
absolutely.
I've been going through. I swept the entire house looking for the coin, and I found it. You know?
Where was it? It was in the last place I looked.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It always seems to be in the last place I look. I'll stay here.
Yeah. Funny how that
anyway,
works.
That's going through, yeah. But it actually always reminds me of the idea of Jesus talking about the woman sweeping the house looking for the coin and rejoicing when she finds it.
But, interesting. Ooh, that's ironic.
Yeah. They interesting. Yeah, seek and save that which is lost.
Amen. Anyway,
and it's a little OCD, maybe, but that's okay.
Definitely. Definitely.
And one last thing, just want to give everybody a heads up to look into this Psalm 83 verses Ezekiel 38, 39, Daniel 9 and 10, all this stuff, because this is going to be a huge eschatology buster for a while, because things when you're all of a sudden, you know, you've got those five. You know, a few pieces that just won't fit the puzzle.
Well, again, I think if we're willing to confront the reality of things, you know, and again, this gets back mainly to our American founding, Age of Enlightenment, humanism, deism, empiricism, natural philosophy, rationalism, reason, scientific method. All of these things are patently unbiblical in nature. If we're really honest enough to look carefully and objectively and... Yeah. So one of the things that has really hit me square between the eyes in recent months and years is that, you know, I mean, America is really kind of the product of the Platonic tradition passed down and curated and collated and synthesized and put to action, the New Atlantis thing, you know, Bacon, Newton, Manly P. Hall, Plato's Atlantis. And I mean, let's be honest, Plato wrote the book, The Republic. He literally wrote the book on the subject. And that was a big influence in the American Revolutionary period, the Age of Enlightenment and all of that stuff. And so if you come forward with that, and you're honest enough to bring the, you know, what was going on, then you really start to look at these people that have been influential in Western culture for the last 500 years and even beyond, and you start looking closer and you go, these guys that we've celebrated historically that, you know, they do say some smart things sometimes, but, you know, the Voltaire...
Yeah, but all too often... Plato gets mixed with Machiavelli.
Well, is there a difference, really?
Yeah, exactly.
So, Voltaire, Montesquieu, Pascal, Leibniz, Kant, Schiller, of these, Spinoza, Swedenborg,
the empiricist versus the rationalist, they always got you tied up in the little...
That's a false argument, though. Both are patently unbiblical in their nature. We could sort of try to biblicalize them, but, you know, one of the – I'll just put it this way. So, you know, the reason that this whole examination kicks into high gear is because I'm sure other people are wondering. You know, for example, Joyce sent me an email on one Monday, this past Monday, I mentioned Chuck Baldwin's sermon on Sunday. This past Sunday, the 28th of January. And I said, you know, when he says the natural law concept, the laws of nature, nature's God, natural law is biblical, that's just false. That's the furthest thing from true. That's not true. Natural philosophy, natural theology, natural, et cetera, it is not. It's very Masonic. It's very Illuminized. It's very humanistic in nature. That's reality. That's not me. That's not my opinion. There is a scholarly consensus. You would probably agree with that. Speaking of scholarly, so she says, why do you say that Chuck Baldwin is absolutely wrong about natural law and the founding fathers? I find nothing wrong with it. Most of us don't, as Americans, especially as Christian Americans. Find nothing wrong with it. Just wondering what your opinion is based on. And I sent back, you know, basically, it's not my opinion. It's a fact that natural law is not biblical in its orthodoxy. We can try to bend and play funny business.
I'm wondering if John Quincy Adams had much of anything to say about that. He might be a dissident voice in there.
Well, speaking of Wikipedia, I'll just say this. The two kind of the abridged explanation or explainer that I offered was, you know, two excerpts, one from the natural law Wikipedia entry, the other from the History of Christianity Wikipedia entry. I wouldn't say that Wikipedia is a Christian resource, but it says on the natural law Wikipedia entry, modern natural law theories took shape in the Age of Enlightenment. Aquinas, et cetera, but then modern natural law theories, which includes our Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God. Modern natural law theories took shape in the Age of the Enlightenment. Okay. So most of us as Americans go, okay, what does that mean? Skip over to the History of Christianity Wikipedia entry, and you read this. There is a historiographical consensus. To the listener, I would say that means it's basically a general consensus. We all agree. We all acknowledge this is an established fact, essentially. Historiographical consensus that the Enlightenment was anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-religious. And this is the root of modern natural law theory. There you go.
You'll notice they always teach Reformation and Enlightenment, whereas perhaps it would be better phrased Reformation versus Enlightenment.
Well, I would even call into question Reformation. That's kind of what I'm saying. You go back and you go back and you go back, and you're like, there's been this effort to keep playing funny business and keep the intellectual, philosophical aspect or element in the Christian community, which is why I have been saying for months now, the real question is, who's in charge, who decides? Raphael Warnock at Ebenezer Baptist Church says, the early church was socialist. And I say, no, that's a lie. But most people couldn't make the distinction. But Chris, I mean, what's happening in Acts 2:45, where they're selling property, giving to each as they have need, isn't that from each according to his ability, to each according to his need? Well, on the face of it, yes. But the meta question is, who's in charge? Who decides? And the reason that's not socialism is because the Holy Spirit is in charge, impressing it upon people's hearts. It's not the state directing people to do that, aka the devil. And the evidence of that is when Peter confronts Ananias and Sapphira separately and says, why did you lie? Not to the state, not to me, but to God.
Right. Right. And John MacArthur, I heard touch on that, and he talks about the growth or changes and evolution in church government even as early as the first century. You know, just even the first kind. You've got, you know, Episcopalian, you've got Presbyterian, you've got congregational forms of government in the various congregations and stuff like that. And church governance.
I would say down through the centuries, you and I should probably talk about this later. We could probably talk about this for an entire show at some point, but especially because of your studied background, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this. But my limited research compared to yours, I would say, is that, or evinces in Jeffersonian language an effort to, as Manly P. Hall and others have said, to sort of make sure that history remains pregnant with the revolutionary germ to return to Genesis 11 and thereby back to Genesis 6 at any given point in history when the opportunity arises. And that's why we have the duality. The externalization of the hierarchy talks about this. We've had the duality passed down through the ages. It's why we have, you know, Merry Christmas / Saturnalia. It's why we have Praise God, right. Jesus is risen, and bunnies and eggs.
Syncretism.
We have that duality.
Pagan syncretism. Either we're worshiping the creator or the creation. And but they always slip the creation in there.
The point of that syncretic effort in this context, though, is to make sure that you keep the duality on down through history. So at any given moment, you have let's say, an 80-20 mixture, 80% Christianity, 20% paganism, mysticism. At any given moment, you can switch those and invert the relation to 20% Christianity, 80% paganism. Or maybe eventually you go all the way to 100% Babylonian mystery religion, which is the idea. But just to keep history pregnant with that, you know, to be able to switch and not have some reaction, because they're not going from no paganism to paganism. It's like Coke and Pepsi, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, ultimately come down to either, you know, worshiping God or worshiping the creation. You know, and basically the question for us is not even Christ, not even proper liturgy or worship or doctrine in the church. Oh, when are we doing the will of the Father? You know, it's like,
yeah,
wow.
Who's in charge? Who decides? Absolutely.
Yeah. Who created, you know? So, but,
amen.
Well, I better take my newly found channel lock pliers and go take the oil cap off my car and see, put in.
Appreciate it, sir.
I got to get out there before somebody touches the oil.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They're not allowed to touch the oil. Oh, that's good.
All right. Well, thank you as always. Much appreciated.
Thank you. Hey, don't be fooled, man. I'm a mile wide and 2 inches deep. So.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Take care, Chris. God bless.
Bye. All right. So before we go back to the phones real quick, you know, again, the thinkers, got a lot of thinkers, man. Speaking of the age of the Enlightenment, Bacon, Christian? No. Bentham, Christian? No. Gibbon? Locke? Uh-oh. Now you're, look out. You're going to call John Locke into question? Yeah. Speaking of the email that I mentioned, my reply to Joyce, I mentioned Rebecca Neuberger Goldstein's New York Times op-ed back in 2006 titled A View of the Truth, Spinoza's Faith and Reason. And she wrote, Spinoza's faith in reason as our only hope. See, most people don't understand. Reason sounds good. I'm a reasonable person. No, that's not what reason and the age of reason / enlightenment is all about. Spinoza's faith in reason as our only hope and redemption is the core of his system, and its consequences reach out in many directions, including the political. Statecraft, and this is a soundbite that's going to just stick in my head forever. Statecraft infused with religion is intrinsically unstable, since it must insist on its version of the truth against all others. Ooh, that's interesting. That's something to chew on a little bit. Let's see. Detasking is bad for radio. Finishing the quote. The Declaration of Independence, that document first drafted by Thomas Jefferson, softly echoes Spinoza. What? John Locke, Spinoza's contemporary, is a more obvious influence on Jefferson than Spinoza was, but Locke had himself been influenced by Spinoza's ideas on tolerance, freedom, and democracy. If we can hear Locke's influence in the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we can also catch the sound of Spinoza addressing us in Jefferson's appeal to the laws of nature and nature's God. This is the language of Spinoza's universalist religion, which makes no reference to revelation, that is, you know, basically the gospel, the good news, gospel of the kingdom that must be preached to all the world, Jesus said. Makes no reference to revelation, you know, the one true and living God, the Holy Spirit, but rather to ethical truths that can be discovered through human reason. That sounds like theosophy to me. It's the divine wisdom just without God. Jefferson softly echoes Spinoza. She writes, on, I believe it was the January 4th broadcast, I mentioned that Michio Kaku, you know, do you believe in God? Well, you know, theoretical physicists are Kabbalists, and Einstein was a Kabbalist. Newton was a Kabbalist. All the theoretical physicists, you know, advanced math types, are the real ones are Kabbalists. And so Einstein said, I believe in the God of Spinoza. Michio Kaku, as I said back, I believe it was the January 4 broadcast, he's basically laughing in our faces. And you can see he has Duper's Delight. It's all over him. He just is having so much fun. What does he mean when he says the God of Spinoza? He means the, you know, the laws of nature and nature's God. It's that God, the God of Spinoza. It's the God of America. Spinoza's God, the God of Kabbalah. It's Satan ultimately, but you know, I mean, that's the spoiler alert. But that's the God of the laws of nature and nature's God. If we're honest, if we chase it out and you look at all of these names, again, you know, some of the other names, Bacon, Gibbon, Locke, Milton, Newton, Priestley was very influential on Jefferson. Even Wikipedia acknowledged, you know, Mary Wollstonecraft was very influential. Even Wikipedia says that she, I forget who the citation was, but she, what do they call it? Something like foreshadowed St. Simon's work a generation ahead of St. Simon. This is what was going on. So, you know, the utilitarian, technocratic, cybernetic, anti-God, anti-church crowd was the, these were the, this was the intellectual firebrand of the Age of Enlightenment, which is the central undeniable influence in the American Revolutionary founding. And then there's the whole revolutionary aspect. This is all uncomfortable stuff, but it's reality. And I believe, as Christians, if we are courageous enough to confront this reality, it will help us to move forward and, you know, boldly and single-mindedly as we're called to as Christians. So, back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, I wanted to... Actually, I was grateful for your response to my call yesterday because it elicited a plethora of calls, and I got to explain to you the firewall that God had put in place in our cerebral tissue that negates any attempt with Neuralink. So I got to explain it to probably 20 or 30 people that called in reaction to your response to me yesterday when you were, I guess I was having difficulty with my phone. The levels are sometimes a little bit weird on our end, and I was reacting to the fact that I couldn't hear you clearly.
We were anyway, short of time, and when you say repeatedly, can you hear me, can you hear me, and I say yes, yes, by the third time, we're wasting time.
That is, and I know that is annoying. I know that. I appreciate that. I used to produce Family Rights Radio back in the 2005, 2006, and 2007. So, but anyway, as a consequence, I got a plethora of calls from people who were very Christian-like, and they said, what was the message you want to give? And I said, I'd worked in neurochemistry and realized that any time you put anything foreign into the brain, the dendrites retreat. That's God's firewall in protecting the divinity of your brain. And that's what I wanted to share with you, is the fact that in the experience I had in neuropathology, whenever we put a probe or anything foreign into the brain, the dendrites automatically retreat. And the only thing that can happen is a gross voltage jumping that gap. So Neuralink is a fiction. That's all I can tell you.
Thanks. Well, what does that mean, though? What is the, you know, so what does that mean? Neuralink is a fiction. But the reality is they're sticking stuff in people's brains, though.
Yeah. But look what happens. Get the reports.
Well, that's what I was reading. That was why I read from the Wired magazine article, the sort of pedestrian version of what you're talking about.
What you ought to do is find a way to get with Judith Mary Baker, who used to work for Mary Sherman, who I interacted with way long ago when she, just before the Mary's Monkey event occurred. And any time they tried to probe or put any probes into the brains of these monkeys or humans, the reaction is still the same. The dendrites retreat, and all you can get is a gross, unsophisticated spark or charge to pass through that gap. Nothing of any real intelligent information can be transmitted from anything outside the brain into the brain.
Then what would be the purpose of doing these kinds of things and trying to standardize it?
Most of it is blovia. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, well, that doesn't make sense. Why would you spend
fear porn.
Untold amounts of money and decades, over 100 years now, really, on these kinds of efforts?
Well, I can tell you, when I was working in the labs, I was receiving money to do work that had been done and been tried, and quite often it kept on failing, but we would spin our reports. That phrase we used to use was, figures don't lie, but liars figure. So when you want to receive grant money, you keep on pursuing a dead-end...
This is not that. Neuralink is, you know, I mean, are you saying that Elon Musk is just trying to get grant money? That doesn't make sense.
To promote nonsense and fear.
Kurzweil wrote, part of what I mentioned yesterday was from Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines, published in 1999, and he's talking about that and saying by 2029, this will be a thing. So I am not clear. I guess we're out of time. I guess we're at the end of the broadcast. Yeah, maybe we can unpack this a little bit more later. Folks, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If it was infotaining, perhaps, please pray for one another and support the network. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.